Now, Lord, as we sit before your word, we just ask you to help us hear it, challenge us, change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about the blind. The blind. Remember last week we talked a little bit about, the disciples getting in the boat, and Jesus talks about the yeast of the Pharisees, and they're worried about their loaf of bread. They only brought one loaf of bread for all of the 13 people on the boat that we know were there, and they're worried that they don't have enough bread, which seems kind of interesting that they're worried about something that Jesus in the past has taken care of in relationship to feeding 5,000 with a few loaves and 4,000 with a few loaves. And all of that. And they're just kind of sidetracked by their own mistake, by their own lack of preparation. And I don't know, I can identify with that. And I also can identify with the next passage of Scripture. I want to remind you, the last question Jesus asked them was this: don't you understand what's going on? Don't be left out. And then he says this in verse 22 of Mark 8. And when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, and he spat on the man's eyes and laid hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" And the man looked around. Yes, I see people, but I can't see them clearly. They look like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and the eyes were opened, and his eyes were completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home." They arrived across the river of the lake to Bethsaida. And I know that Jesus knew the blind man was already there. He already knew the circumstances, the situations. He knew what he was going to do. And the scripture says some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged Jesus to touch him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's some good friends. That's some good friends. Apparently, this guy was a very likable guy. Apparently, this guy was very important to some people around them. In my devotion this past week, I read a question that was very interesting, and it kind of quickened my heart. It quickened my prayer life. If God, and this was the question, if God answered your prayers, how many people around your life would be blessed? How many people you know will be blessed? See, sometimes we're all guilty of just making those prayers about me, myself, and I, if we're not careful. So I just want to encourage you in your prayer life, bless. Bless people in your sphere of influence. Pray for people in your sphere. Have somebody you can bring to Jesus, a bunch of people every day. And if you don't have anybody on your list, you can bring me. I mean, we all need prayer. Amen? So they begged Jesus to touch this man. What did they do? What did they do? They didn't just ask. Do you get the point? They begged. I don't know about you, but that's not a simple request. "Hey, Jesus, could you just touch this man?" I think Jesus was getting inundated with requests from this crowd who was bringing this blind man to him. They begged Jesus to touch him. I also think that Jesus, or Mark, in his writing of the gospel, is trying to show us something about the disciples through this miracle. Because I know there's something worse than physical blindness. And that's spiritual blindness. Not being able to see Jesus for who he really is. And why he really came. And not really understanding that in seeing Jesus, understanding your own need of forgiveness of transformation, of healing. So there's a lot of things worse than just physical blindness. That major thing is spiritual blindness. And there are something worse than this physical blindness, spiritual blindness. And Jesus took this blind man by the hand. I love that about Jesus. Now, in Mark's gospel, most of the miracles that take place are public, because they're trying to convince the crowd, the multitude, of who Jesus is. That he's not an average guy. He's just not your average teacher. He's the man with authority from heaven that cast out devils. He is the man with authority from heaven that opens blinded eyes. He's the man with authority from heaven that raises the dead. You see, he's not. So the miracles in Mark are normally public, so everybody can see. But this one, Jesus grabs him by the hand, and I like that about Jesus. I think Jesus is trying to build a relationship with this man, not just be an abstract person in his life that people bring to, but he grabs him by the hand. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I'm glad I've had the hand of Jesus, or he had my hand, one or the other. That when I'm walking through a dark valley, when I can't see tomorrow, when I don't know what's going to happen, he had hold of me. There's something beautiful about Jesus taking our hand and leading us to the place where he can touch us, where he can transform us, where he can do the things that need to be done in our lives. And sometimes I don't even know he needs to do it. Yeah. So here this man is. He led him out of the village. I like that. That relationship is important, because what Jesus does next, he spits in his eyes. This is what I know. The blind man didn't know it was coming. But he did spit in his eyes. And if you read that in Scripture, if you're just casually reading, you don't really, okay, big deal, he spit in his eyes. No, he spit in his eyes. It's not something you want to have done to you every day. It's not something you would even like, even in the midst of your sickness. Can you imagine a nurse coming into your hospital room and all of a sudden she spits in your eyes? You're going to be calling somebody to complain to somebody about what they've just done. So here Jesus is. He spit. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think there's a little shock value in that. Would be for me. He spits in his eyes. He lays hands on him and he prays. And then he asks a question. I think it's fascinating that Jesus is wanting to confirm to this blind man, whom we don't know his name, but he's wanting to confirm to this blind man of the results of Jesus' own prayer. Do you see anything? Do you see anything? Jesus wants to know if his actions have had an effect. Or does he already know? Is he already trying to teach us a bigger, broader thing than just healing us? How many know everything Jesus does has a purpose? Even in your life, in my life. I don't know about you, but there have been some things that have happened in my life that weren't very pleasant. Maybe that flat tire kept you from the guy running the red light. You see, we don't know how God looks out after us. And there's a bigger picture then. And I believe that's exactly what's going on in the life of the disciples. Here are the disciples. They've been touched by Jesus, but I don't think they're seeing Jesus for who he really is. Their eyesight's a little foggy, like this blind man who sees men walking around like trees. That tells me a couple of things. Number one, the blind man must have known what men looked like and acted like. That means he probably had sight before something tragic happened in his life, and now Jesus is there to rectify the situation. And it also applies to the disciples who had been with Jesus, who had left everything to follow him. They had heard him teach, but didn't hear him teach. They had saw miracles, but didn't see him. They knew there's something about this Jesus. And maybe you've been there. Philip Yancey uses this quote. It's probably one of the best definitions of Christianity I've ever heard. What is Christianity? And he says this: Christianity is a long walk with a resurrected Savior. Now, I don't know about you, but I know this: through the journey of faith, he's holding my hand. Or I'm holding him. I know this: he's my only hope. He's my only hope. In Mark 8:18, it says this about the disciples. Jesus says it: you have eyes, but you can't see. You have ears and can't hear. You've all had children like that, haven't you? In verse 8:21, it's the concluding of last week. Don't you understand yet? Jesus had reached it, it seems like to me. I don't know. It's just maybe I'm reading something into the story, but I'm telling you, he has. Get it together, boys! You know, sometimes we can look at other disciples too the same way. You know, you'd think they would know better than to do what they're doing. And if you're not careful, you can get your eyes on what all the other believers are doing, and you forget God needs to do something inside of you. An old timer once said, some of you are more worried about everybody else's garden than your own. Can I tell you, God is faithful? And sometimes we do need a second touch. I mean, it's one thing to know him, but it's another thing to allow him to transform your heart and life and make you like him. I don't know, for me, that has required multiple interventions from heaven. When I get in his presence, his spirit shows up and he demonstrates and molds things into my life. Yes, truly, we are the clay and he is the potter. He molds and fashions. I feel sorry for the guy who says, I don't need it. I feel sorry for the guy who can see all the problems in everybody else. And never takes the time to look in their own mirror. Yeah. You see, the disciples are still blinded. They can't see Jesus for who he really is. Jesus asked this blind man the question, can you see? And Jesus has to pray again. I love that about Jesus. I love the fact that every time Jesus does a miracle, he doesn't do it the same way. We don't serve a cookie cutter God. Just look around you. Every one of us is uniquely you. I mean, uniquely other. Do you understand? I mean, thank God you don't look like me. Thank God you don't look like the person next to you. It would be a miserable world if we all looked at the same, act the same, dressed the same. I don't know about you, but I would get bored pretty quickly. God is not into boredom. Every sunrise is different. Every sunset is different. Because he's a creator God who made you and I. Hallelujah. And here are the disciples. And look, he looked around and I can see people. The second touch. You know, I've met people, Christian people who really love the Lord, and they say, you should just pray once, leave it at the feet of Jesus, and go about your business. Never bring it up again. Can I say that Jesus even prayed twice? I mean, the whole implication of ask, knock, and seek, it means to keep asking. It means to keep knocking. It keeps seeking. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifetime journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're in communion with him and he's in communion with you, you have requests and he has demands, and he whispers things in your heart and your life that means that he is after the pursuit of your heart, your affection toward him. And when that happens, something transformative takes place in your life, and you start bringing a little bit of heaven on this earth. And if there's anything this world needs, it's a lot of heaven on this earth, and it needs to come through our lives. Amen. Help us, Lord. I see, but I got it. See, partial healing for the blind guy wasn't good enough. Aren't you glad God heals us completely? Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Guess what? God's not done with me yet. If you want a better pastor, there's one coming. Because he's not done with me yet. Glory to God. And guess what? There's a better you coming too. It gives me great hope. To pastor a better you. Glory to God. Why? Because he who began a work in us will bring to completion what he started in us. Don't give up. Don't get your eyes on all my mistakes and all your brothers and sisters' failures, because you're to fix your eyes on the author and the perfecter. His name is Jesus. And the enemy wants to sidetrack you. Listen, this is what I know. People, Christians, who are looking at what everybody else is doing, they live in a miserable life. And they ain't happy. Because our joy is found in him. In the pursuit of him. Yeah. Something had to happen in the disciples. They knew about him. This blind man needed more. Partial faith was not enough for the disciples. It's not enough for you, and it's not enough for me. It's not enough to believe that Jesus was a good man. That doesn't get you into eternity. It's not enough to believe Jesus was a miracle worker. Others have accomplished amazing, mind-bending things. That will not get you into eternity. It's not enough to follow Jesus. Judas proves that. More than a mind activity, more than the activity for activity's sake, serving Jesus. And Jesus placed this hand on this man's eyes again, and his eyes was opened, his sight completely restored. He could see everything completely. And in the background, I just have him. I wish Jesus was thinking, the disciples are going to get it. The disciples are going to get it. Because his last question to them was, don't you understand? They're going to get it. They're going to get it. They're going to get it. My disciples are going to get it. They're really going to hear the way they need to realize who is with him. When they're going to see beyond the miracles, the feedings of the thousands, the healing of the sick, the casting out of, they're going to see beyond that. They're going to look past the stuff and see who Jesus is. In the next passage of scripture, you read it when you get home. Jesus asked this question to them. Who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. And then Jesus asked them. The question of all questions. Who do you? See, it's not enough what other people think of Jesus. He personalizes it for every one of them. They couldn't ride on Peter's back. They couldn't ride on anybody. They had to go themselves. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, the guy that's rushed in to speak boldly, and sometimes he does it well, and sometimes he just sticks his foot in his mouth, of which we're all pretty good at. Who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, thou art the Christ, the Messiah. The light switch went on. Did you hear it quake? Few verses earlier, you guys don't understand, but somehow between that moment, the healing of the blind man, Peter had a revelation. Aren't you glad God hasn't given up with you? Hallelujah. He had a revelation of who Jesus was. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. When they are going to look past the stuff and see Jesus. So Jesus asked them this question, who do men say that I am? Glory to God, you're the Christ. And just because you get the answer once doesn't mean you're not going to be tried again. When Jesus was hanging on the tree, he didn't look like the Messiah that they thought. And what did they do? They fled. They ran. They were afraid. What happened? Listen. Walk humbly before the Lord. Can I tell you, walk humbly before the Lord? Because you don't know what tomorrow beholds. But I know this. He can take you through whatever you have to walk through. He will never leave you nor forsake you. As they watched their loved one, their Messiah, die on the cross, God was there with them preparing. 3 days later, a resurrection would happen. 3 days later, a resurrection would take place in their heart of hearts. Thomas would say, I'm not going to believe till I touch him, till I touch his hand, until I touch his side. I'm not going to believe until... And what does Jesus do? He shows up. We make a big deal about doubt. And we call Thomas the doubting Thomas. But I believe with all my heart, God is willing to prove himself to hearts that want to know. Amen? So here Thomas is. I'm not going to believe I'm not going to believe. And Jesus shows up and he says, touch me. Listen to me, every one of us has needed God to show up a time or two in our lives. I'm glad that when I got saved, God didn't put a hold button on showing up in my life. He showed up time and time again when I cried out to him and help. He's always there to touch us, to bless us, to encourage us, to help us along the way. He is that kind of God. In Isaiah 53, it says this in verse 3 through 6. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands. Encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. For your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but in my journey of faith, I've been through a few valleys. Walk through a few deserts. But the heaven. Heaven's what we call brass. You know what that means? They just hard. You wonder even if God's even hearing. Because it doesn't look like much is happening. You cry. he's always been faithful to touch me again. He's always been faithful to bring me through. And I don't know what you're going through today, but I'm going to tell you, he is a faithful God whose hand is out for you to hold. Amen. He's that kind of God. He is. He is. You know what Jesus says to Peter? Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, John." I mean, I can imagine the surprise in Jesus' life. "Simon, you got it!" I like it when Jesus is surprised by my reactions. Trust me, I know I've had enough disappointment, or God's been disappointed with me. And I love it when God is happy with my response. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." Really, what Jesus is saying to Simon is this: flesh didn't teach you that. The natural life didn't teach you that. What you saw was incomplete to teach you this. What you heard was not going to make it happen. The Father in heaven revealed his truth to you in a supernatural transformative visitation, and you saw me for who I was, the Messiah who would take away the sins of the world. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life when I prayed, have prayed, "Lord, help me to understand what you're doing." You ever prayed that prayer? I mean, especially after Jesus' last question to the disciples, "Don't you understand?" I can't help but believe maybe Peter just had that prayer on his heart. "God, I don't want to miss. Help me to understand. Help me to understand. Help me to understand." Aren't you glad God answers our prayer when we need to understand a few things? He knows how to be a faithful teacher. Help me to understand. What was the purpose of leaving those nets, Peter? Following Jesus has to be bigger than miracles, has to be more important than feeding people. The Father in heaven reveals things by the Son and the Holy Spirit. I have a feeling the Holy Spirit was hovering over Peter. The light showed up and the clearer picture showed up. Who is this tree of righteousness? Jesus. He was more than just a man that did stuff. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah foretold in the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah! And Jesus' response to Peter, Jesus sent the man. The man that was blind was sent away, healed. And so the disciples would be sent away to heal with the gospel, the good news. What does Jesus tell this blind man? Don't go back to the home. Go home. Don't go back to the village. So he would just tell his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Aren't you glad they did? We know what hope is because of them, what they did. Something bigger than what you see is taking place. Something bigger than what you see on the news is taking place. Something bigger than what you see around you is taking place. This world is not some globe that's just spinning in the universe. This is God's Eden. He's about to take control of this place. He birthed you into his kingdom to rule and reign with him in the new heaven and the new earth. If you think the news is all there is, you need a new vision. You need a second touch, because right now all you see in is trees that are just a little ugly. Can I say ugly? Can you say amen? There's something beautiful about when God touches you. And you began to see, oh, this is not all there is. Glory to God, there's more to life than voting. Oh, come on, you better say amen. Listen, we're in the eternal stuff. This Messiah brings the Holy Spirit into this place. And I don't want to miss him. I need the worship team back up here. I don't want to miss him. I don't want to miss him for my sake, but more importantly, I don't want to miss him for your sake. The older I've gotten, the more mature I've gotten, let's put it that way. What blesses me greater than anything else is other people being blessed by God. Other people being encouraged, whispering hope in their lives. Yeah. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I quoted it earlier. This is the Message version. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. Hallelujah! Stand with me. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this verse again. I'm going to put a little commentary in there, okay? You ready? There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it. You know what I get in my mind? God's got an axe, man. He's just chipping away at you. He's just chipping away. He's not going to stop chipping away what's of this world to get you to another place. To another place. Great work of you. I'm going to keep at it, and I'm going to bring it to a flourishing finish. Oh, glory to God. You know what that means? You're going to shine like he shines. You're going to be as he is in heaven. I'm going to tell you, there's something powerful that happened the day you got saved. He destined you for eternity. He destined you to be just like Jesus Christ. Don't you dare give up now. Pastor Larry, it's hard. Yeah. God never said it was going to be easy. But he did promise this: I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Glory to God. I'm not on this journey by myself. I'm not all by myself. He is with me. And sometimes he's carrying me along the way. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord, thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that you are patient with us. And that your word, like the axe, chips away at things that need to be out of our lives. God, help me. Help us to understand, Lord. Help us to know you more. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You know he was a good man. You know it was a miracle. I'm talking about you don't know him as the Savior. The scripture says this: there's no other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved. He's the door. He came to save you. If you don't know him today, you need to be saved. You need to know him as Savior. Here today and you say, Pastor Larry, would you just pray? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray with you right now. Anybody would raise their hand? Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Larry, I need a touch. like this blind man, I need a touch. I don't know what number it may be in your life. You know, God's touched most of us many times. You need a touch. Maybe you're walking through a valley. Maybe you're walking through discouragement. Maybe you're walking through a hopeless situation. You say, I need God to help me. Maybe somebody you know is just going through a dark place. And you just feel like interceding for them, praying for them. And you need a touch for them. If that's you, anybody, raise your hand as Ben begins to sing. You just need God to touch you. You need to give your heart to the Lord. Just come. Let him touch you. He is here to touch. Don't miss his presence to touch you today. There's somebody in this room. You're so focused on every other believer, you're missing what God wants to do in your life. This is what God would say to you. Stop it. Today is the day. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day. As Ben leads us in this song, would you just come and just humble yourself before him and let him touch you a second time, or maybe a first time, maybe a eighth time. It doesn't matter. You know your source. God is here to touch you today. Come on.